Prayers of the body are requested for the family of Pastor Emeritus Arthur Schultz, late of Black River Falls, Wisconsin, who went to be with his Savior yesterday morning. Pastor Schultz was among the pioneers of the fellowship to which you belong and a longtime pastor in the CLC. He's survived by his daughter, Pamela Schultz, a resident of Madison, Wisconsin, and an alumna of this institution. We pray. Merciful Father, the generations rise and pass away before you. You are the strength of those who labor and the repose of the blessed dead. We give you thanks for all who have lived and died in the faith, especially for Pastor Arthur Schultz, our dear brother. In his body you gave him life and poured out your Holy Spirit when you washed him in the renewing waters of holy baptism. By the same Spirit, you led him to confess with his mouth that Jesus is Lord and to believe in his heart that you have raised Christ from the dead. Give us faith to commend our brother to you and to await with confidence the resurrection of all your saints, living and departed, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God the Father and from our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that we'll consider today comes from the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, verses 11 to 14, as follows. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, the one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. This is the word of God. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, because of whose resurrection, death is now swallowed up in victory, dear friends in Christ. A man pulled up to a stoplight on a busy street one day and found himself stopped right next to a large truck carrying a cargo of live sheep. With a laugh, he called up to the driver, "Say, you shepherds certainly don't move sheep around the way you used to, do you?" But the driver wasn't laughing. He said, "I'm not a shepherd. I'm a butcher." In the text I just read to you, Jesus warns that the hireling's interest is not in the welfare of the sheep. And it's sad to say, but we have a lot of hirelings among the religious Christian denominations in America today. People who are in it mainly for the money. It's a business. They're interested in the fleece, not in the sheep. But Jesus is different. Jesus is the good shepherd. Unlike a hireling, Jesus has a much deeper interest in the sheep. He paid for them, and not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood. Our theme this morning is a simple one. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Whenever we're reading a section of the Bible, one of our first tasks is to identify those two main teachings of Scripture within that text, the law and the gospel. Finding the law in this text is pretty easy. It lies within that single word, sheep. Ever wonder why Scripture so often pictures the people of God as sheep? Sometimes we get so caught up in that charming picture of the good shepherd holding the sheep that we lose sight of the fact that being called a sheep is not exactly a compliment. If anything, it's the opposite. One modern writer pointed out how different sheep are from many other domestic animals. Unlike other animals, for example, sheep cannot clean themselves. And if you've ever seen a sheep whose wool is caked with mud and filth, really kind of a disgusting sight. Sheep love to wander, and if not closely supervised, will very quickly become lost. And that's a big problem. Because sheep, unlike some other animals, don't have any natural defense mechanisms, and when lost, are completely at the mercy of predators. Sheep cannot find food and water for themselves and need to be led to pasture. Finally, compared to most other domestic animals, sheep just really aren't very intelligent. How do you feel now about being called a sheep? Maybe not quite as charming a picture as it was before, is it? Painful as it may be, you have to admit that a lot of these same traits do apply to you, at least in a spiritual sense. For instance, you can't clean yourself either, at least not when it comes to your soul. It's tempting to think that by your own efforts, you can somehow make up for some of the sins you've committed and expunge at least a part of the guilt. But that's a dream. Despite your best efforts, the filth remains. Martin Luther discovered that to his great distress when he was still a Catholic monk. The harder he tried to get clean by his own efforts, the dirtier he felt. That's a sheep-like attribute you may be familiar with as well. Any more similarities? Well, when left to ourselves, we tend to wander, don't we? Look back on your life. All we like sheep have gone astray, says Isaiah. We have turned everyone to his own way. On your own, you would be completely without spiritual nourishment and completely at the mercy of those fierce predators of your soul, the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh. On your own, a helpless sheep, you'd be headed for a swift and certain one-way trip down that last dreadful chute that leads to the slaughterhouse of hell. Thank God you're not on your own. You have a shepherd, a good shepherd. A shepherd to protect you, to care for you, to provide for all your needs, and more than that, for in our text for today, he says to you, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Do you personally know any sheep farmers? I had a couple of them in my first parish in South Dakota, and they were conscientious people. They were responsible about providing appropriate food and protection for their sheep. I certainly think you could have referred to them as good shepherds. But how would you refer to a farmer who was willing to go to the slaughterhouse himself and give up his own life so that his sheep wouldn't have to die? One writer pointed out that we wouldn't call him the good shepherd. We'd call him the crazy shepherd, because such a sacrifice makes no logical sense. And yet that's just what you, Lord Jesus, did for you. The hymnist looks to Calvary and asks, what punishment so strange is yet suffered yonder? The shepherd dies for sheep that love to wander. The master pays the debt his servants owed him who would not know him. That's what Jesus did for you. To save you from the killing floor, he went there himself. Isaiah continues, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus went quietly and willingly to the slaughter. As our great shepherd, he made the ultimate sacrifice for his sheep. How ironic it is that the sacrificial Lamb of God should also become the good shepherd of the sheep. Our good shepherd who cares about his sheep and loves his sheep because they belong to him. He has a vested interest in what happens to them, their welfare, and he will not let them wander off to destruction. A little later on in this chapter, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. When you're alarmed by your many sins, remember that promise, will you? For it is a promise. No power in heaven or on earth can snatch you from the arms of your good shepherd. He paid for your sins. He atoned for every last one of them on Calvary's cross. And by his resurrection, your good shepherd is now leading you along the path that ends not at the slaughterhouse, but in the mansions of heaven. An American evangelist named Bob Crabtree wrote about a trip that he once made to Russia. Driving through a remote rural area, he was forced to stop his car when he encountered a huge herd of sheep in the middle of the road, over 300 sheep milling around right in the middle of the roadway. It turned out it was actually two flocks of sheep that had become intermingled as the two shepherds stood in the middle of the road and calmly chatted with one another. Combined with his impatience was a growing curiosity. How in the world, this preacher wondered, are they ever going to be able to separate those two flocks of sheep? Well, the two shepherds finished whatever it was they were talking about, and as one of them was walking away, he simply looked over his shoulder and in a low voice uttered one word, "Come." And amazingly, they did. That is, at that simple word of bidding, the sheep that belonged to him separated from the others and followed him. For you see, they knew the voice of their shepherd. We know the voice of our shepherd too, don't we? For he speaks to us right here in his holy word. May God keep us faithful in following the voice of our good shepherd. And one day, promises the Apostle Peter, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Amen. We conclude this morning with hymn 783.